we're getting comfortable now. 4 weeks of high school football in the bag, wrapped up. Pretty crazy, but still early September and going into month two. This is Prep Sports Now. Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. I think we have a big enough sample size to draw some conclusions on some teams this week, so we'll talk about that before getting into the picks as we do always. Gorman gets their first win. One of the headlines of week four, game I was at, they beat Utah's Orem. Took me a second. With so many teams playing Utah teams this year. We got Lone Peak, Bingham, always knocking around. But anyway, so Gorman gets that win. The Polynesian Classic, Liberty gets shut out by IMG Academy. That was the game you were at, Brewer. But honestly, to me, the score perked my eyes up a little bit. All that raving I did about the Liberty defense, I still think it was justified when you only give up, 35 points to IMG?
Yeah, the Liberty defense, and you have to also consider that IMG had some short fields to work with. The Liberty punter hurt his hand midweek, so he wasn't able to catch the ball. They put the kicker in there, and God bless the kid, but he was not ready to participate in catching the ball to kick it. So special teams cost him some field position. So you take away some quick early points, and Liberty's kind of banging with these guys possession for possession. Also, and not to make excuses for Liberty, but you know their quarterback didn't play. They had a few other guys not suit up as well. And I think Liberty, and this is odd because they didn't score, but they were able to do some – there were a few plays where you're like, okay, this defense is legit, bro.
I'm so happy you said that because I don't want to say you were skeptical, but I think you had kind of a raised eyebrow when I was raving about how great the defense was coming out of a loss. I don't know if you believed me fully, so now you're on board?
I'm on board. They definitely could play defense. I worry about their ability to score, considering they've got three games in the bag and obviously a new quarterback this year, and quarterback one gets hurt. We got to go to quarterback two. Next thing you know, we got quarterback three in there, who, by the way, wears number seven like Oblad and is tall and lanky like Oblad, but definitely not Oblad. And you just wonder, you know, how's Liberty going to move the ball up the field? Who are they going to throw the ball to? You know, because it's a shame to waste that good defense. Because you eventually, you know the old adage with defense, right? If you keep putting them out there, they're going to wear out.
That's kind of what I wrote about in my game, exactly.
Yeah. So it's crazy. There was a lot of things going around on Friday on Twitter about who is better, modern day IMG or Gorman Martell senior year.
This year's teams?
Well, I didn't see IMG until today. So I guess the basic question was, would have Gorman been able to hang with IMG?
Well, wasn't that a big debate that one year when they couldn't play an extra game? They were supposed to play or something? Or was that a different school?
No, that was them, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I picked against those best Martell teams a couple times and came to regret it because they always made me eat my words. And they just had so many guys. I don't know who would win this hypothetical matchup, but I am 100% sure it would be close, and there's not a lot of separation. It's probably a game that is 50-50, and it's going to come down to who makes the big plays, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I could agree with that. The one thing I will say is that IMG had some pretty big boys, especially up front, and they were nasty and physical. I think they were actually a little too undisciplined, and that might have played into Gorman's hand a little bit because back then they were just an absolute machine, and defensively, they were lights out with, you know, like the Haskell Garretts and the Peleite Gaelete. I had to say that once this year because I'd screwed up. And then in, you know, the backfield, you had the Boldens and the Perrys, and Gorman was a real deal. But anyways, that was going around on Twitter. And then another thing is I made an editorial comment because I'm a columnist. I'm allowed to do that about how I thought the IMG team was absolute animals. It was like, they would make a tackle. They would basically urinate on you, look over and try to taunt the coach, constantly barking. Now, a lot of that was the Jordan Butler kid who played at Desert Pines and then transferred to IMG. But I'm like, what a – I even was – Mark Grantner was there, the head of officials, our good buddy. And I was commenting to him like, this isn't high school football. Like, I don't know. I mean, you got to have an edge, I guess, CK, and you played, so you know this. You got to have an edge, and you got to be a little bit confident. But I felt like I was trying to watch an episode of The U. You know what I'm saying? Remember, you know those ESPN documentaries? And it just it was so unappealing to me. And then I was like, I think that this IMG, what I observed in one small sample size, is how the rest of the world, the rest of Las Vegas views Gorman. Or viewed Gorman.
I think Gorman tries not to be too much like that, though.
But I know they try. You and I see it, but I think the rest of the world thinks that Gorman is cocky and brash or whatever, or was.
Yeah, it's hard for me to give an opinion on it since I didn't see what actually was going on. I will say a lot of times I feel like, and it doesn't go this far to where you're just blatantly taunting and doing things like that, but sometimes I feel like we're a little bit too unforgiving of kids that are fired up in games and, you know, might do something a little stupid. I feel like a lot of times the officials have a quick trigger finger with that, with the flags. It doesn't sound like that was the case for IMG. They kind of let them run free.
They kind of lost control. I would say they kind of lost control of the game. I mean, and maybe it's because I'm not competitive and I didn't play football and I think I'm a decent human being. That's debatable depending on who you talk to, but
I'll give you the basic, the decent human being.
But I just like, if I was the coach and my kids were acting like that, and granted, I don't coach football and I probably, you can't try to tame it because you don't want to lose that edge, but I'd be like, all right, you know, we're from out of town. Can we just get in and out of here and be as nice as possible? Maybe enjoy some of the culture of the Polynesian Classic, right? Get a little hamburger and call it a day. I don't know. My opinion.
My other feeling on this is, and like I said, I am apologetic for a lot of this stuff. I didn't see how far Brewers went. But when you first brought this up, one reason why, you know, I kind of might have had a eye roll at the first thing is just because I was at the last Liberty game. And, I mean, Liberty weren't exactly angels. They had a big post-game episode. Granted, it was with themselves, but they also had some taunting stuff that went on in the game. But I will say, the one thing that you addressed that maybe didn't happen at IMG is I was on the sidelines, and after they got one penalty, Morocco just tore into them and tried to make it as clear as possible that this stuff's got to stop. So I do think it's a little bit on the coaches. But, you know, it also is just it's just a product of that age. I mean, you're fired up. You're working towards this. Like I said, I'm not excusing it at all, but I think we got to kind of find a little bit of a middle ground with some of this stuff.
And that's the thing. So after I put that on Twitter, some players from other schools were like, hey, Liberty's just as bad.
Well, yeah, that was my first reaction, to be honest. But I will say I do think the coaching staff tries to curb that to the best of their ability, and I'm not passing judgment, just an observation. So I was at the Gorman game, and honestly, it looked pretty good. I didn't realize we both picked Gorman to beat Orem. When I got there and talking to some people, a lot of people expected Orem to win this game. They had looked pretty good on the year, only lost to Bingham. They have the brother of Kai and Isaiah Nakua, Puka Nakua, who literally one of the best high school football players I've ever seen. It was 31-21, and the 21 was almost all for that kid. Gorman looked like they had figured some things out, played pretty well, I'm assuming a lot better than when you saw them against modern day. So now they improved to 1-2.
And they scored.
They scored regularly. I mean, they scored the first time they got the ball. Now, granted, it was the defense that set them up. I will say, if the kid just figures out a little bit, their quarterback, Micah Bowens, just what a cannon. You're a guy that loves arm strength in high school football and seeing how kids throw the ball. Were they just struggling so much you didn't get to see that? I was surprised when I saw this kid throw the ball that you didn't come back here raving about how great he's going
to
be.
And see, that's the thing. The game I saw, he had very little time to pass. He was more of a running quarterback. And the throws, I mean, were like Palmeiro-esque, where they just were completely nowhere to be found. And that's what we had said initially about, you know, some of these teams that had first-year starters, right? Or inexperienced players, it was going to take some time for them to get their footing. And you go back, you look at both Gorman and Faith, right, playing like a who's who top 20 schedule. They both have one win. They're both 1-3. But come league play, everything's going to slow down real quick, and they're going to go on some runs, and they'll be there at the end of November.
Yeah, you would think so. The up front thing is interesting because I actually think up front defensively, Gorman looks great. I mean, no one Obviously, I think they played well on that side in the 13-7 loss to Centennial, Arizona the week before. And really, the Utah team, Orem could get nothing going up front. I mean, they held them to 15 rushing yards, I think, when you include sacks. And it's the flip side, though, on offense. Sorry, gathering my thoughts. Offensively, they just I don't think they have the line they've had the last several years. And I know one thing you always say is, oh, Gorman, they just the reason they're so much better than everyone or why no one's ever going to have a chance is if they need to get those 4 or 5 yards on the ground, they can do it. I just don't necessarily know if that's at least right now. That's at least a little bit in question. I wouldn't be surprised if Liberty or Arborview is able to win that battle up front when Gorman has the ball, because, I mean, I just saw a lot of runs stopped at the line of scrimmage or before. That's not to say they had bad rushing numbers, but a lot of them were when Ahmad Cianelli, who seems like he's been there forever, he's been playing since he was a sophomore, he broke a couple of long runs, but a lot of times he got shut down. The other kid, Raglan, was getting hit at the line of scrimmage a lot. Maybe the offensive line might be the biggest question mark.
So then the question is, and I think everybody's asking this because Gorman looks vulnerable for the first time since 2008, can Arborview, a team you haven't seen, or Liberty, a team you have seen, beat Gorman?
Well, this is going to be even more exciting to discuss next week because I'm going to see Arborview. Not the most ideal circumstances to see all these teams once, but that's what we have to deal with. We're trying to see everyone, so I'll answer for sure next week after I've seen them all. What I would say right now is I would still make Gorman the favorite against Liberty, but I just think that gap is a lot less than it was before. It doesn't look – I mean, you could go to a Liberty and Gorman game even last year or a couple years ago, and Liberty had a great team, you could tell. But then you go to a Gorman game, and it's almost like they're playing another sport. It was just so much faster. Whereas Liberty had 6 or 7 awesome all-world players, Gorman had one at almost every position. I just don't feel like it is that way this year.
Yeah, so I think if you give me the offense of Oblad, Dado, and Akihito with the modern-day Liberty defense, they'd have a chance against Gorman.
I mean, I'm not saying they don't have a chance this year. I guess that's where I'm going is every other year when you brought this up, I've just dismissed it immediately. No chance. This year, I think the chances are increased. We just mentioned it passing. It's probably a bigger deal to mention that Noah Faua, the quarterback, he got hurt. He was only out the IMG game, right? He's expected to be back. I think they have a bye week, then play Desert Pines. I mean, that's big because he won the quarterback competition. He definitely looked better than the other two guys they tried at the game I was at. So if this offense gets clicking, I mean, who's to say they can't hang with Gorman?
Yeah, and so that's going to be the question of the day. Real fast, I think one of the upsets of the week, or at least what we labeled upsets, or one of the games of the week, Canyon Springs, 24-22 against Green Valley. A quick story. Somebody who I really, really respect, a coach in the area who I was talking to Friday night, said, Brewer, I really, really think that Green Valley could beat Liberty this year. Green Valley is really good up front, and they have got a great run game. And I'm like, all right. I don't know if I see that, considering what I've just been witnessing with the Liberty defense. And then Green Valley goes and loses to Canyon, which, by the way, anytime Canyon and Green Valley play, it seems like there's a winning field goal, right?
Yeah.
Connor Perkins, right, the winning field goal. DJ Pumphrey, running up the hill at Green Valley scoring. I was going crazy. So Canyon, who only lost to Orem, or they lost handily to Orem 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I think 41-14.
Okay, so we kind of see where Canyon is in this whole pecking order, but remember that was Canyon's first game. Great win, and on the road in Utah, probably not used to traveling, but they go home and they defend their turf and they get a dub. And remember now, Canyon is in that new league with Legacy, who I was wrong about, they can't score. Desert Pines, who looks like they figured it out last week, right? Vegas and Eldo. Canyon could be the one over there. They could be meeting Arbor in a winner play Gorman game.
I mean, it's possible. I think Canyon is in the discussion over there. One thing I will say, and this, I always hate bringing up stuff like this because I'm not taking away from the victory. Shout out to Canyon Springs, 24-22 over Green Valley. I think it's safe to say it was an upset. And probably my favorite conversation with a coach I've had the last couple of weeks was Gus McNair after that victory. He was so fired up, had every detail. It was like a lot of times people are,
I know kind of forget wrote right a after the game. That, right?
He's like, he can like tell me what happened on third down at the first drive of the third quarter. He was so fired up. It was really good to hear. Happy for Canyon Springs. That being said, I wouldn't overreact to this one game just because even by his own detail,
they got
oriented,
a few things.
Yeah, I mean, they got five turnovers. Yardage-wise, I think Green Valley outgained them by almost three times. It was just Canyon Springs was fired up. They came up with the plays when they needed to. I don't necessarily think this speaks about Green Valley long-term, that they're going to be worse than we thought they were or anything. And I also think that by Coach McNair's own admission, Canyon Springs has a long way to go on offense. That's not to say they can't get there. I mean, we know they have guys like Javion Pugh and a couple other, Xavier DeLong, guys like that can do it. But I don't think that Canyon Springs is necessarily like a runaway favorite to win the division unless they get a little bit better offensively, because by their own admission, I mean, this was the defense that got it done for them against Green Valley. That's the reason they won. They scored points for them. They got turnovers for them. It's just all the big plays were defensively. I think they still have a little ways to go on offense.
So that puts Desert Pines now as the favorite in the Northeast. That's all I wanted from you.
I think that's fair. I'll let you do the honors of talking about Desert Pines on Fridays. I know that one meant a lot to you.
Yeah, obviously any time a team from Vegas goes up to Reno and gets a dub, that's pretty cool. But, you know, Desert Pines, we've known CK has got kids who are highly thought of, right? You know, a lot of scholarship offers. And for them to drive up there, Minogue's a well-coached team, good program. Not an easy trip to make. To get a double-digit win is good for DP, and, you know, they got a few prove-it games coming up. Sierra Vista, which I think is a nice jump-back game, and then against Liberty, with Liberty a week off to prepare. I think that game is gigantic. Absolutely gigantic. It's actually going to be broadcast. Is broadcast the right word for the internet?
I think it's not technically, but I think it's fair. I mean, people say it now. It's acceptable.
It's going to be on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how that works, but
very cool.
Because they're both three-stripe school, three-stripe life.
Adidas. Awesome.
You got a pair of Adidas shoes at all?
Back in the day, I actually don't think I do right now. I wanted some one time. I went to the Adidas outlet at the outlet center, and I just – None of them were clicking.
They're narrow. That's why you probably got wide feet. When I was a kid, you know, I played soccer and I wore like Adidas exclusively, like the Sambas and the Gazelles. Mm-hmm. And so I played in that Chaparral game, and I kind of got the itch, and I went out and bought a pair of Gazelles. Have you seen those shoes I wore?
I don't think so.
You haven't seen them?
I don't know.
Well, because you're not here on Fridays, right?
Yeah, not
usually. I wear them on casual Fridays, okay, but I got a pair of pink Gazelles. You would love them.
Yeah, a couple Adidas. My college was Adidas, Kansas.
Oh yeah,
one of the flagship Adidas schools. Dang. And also our guy, Frank from Liberty. Shout out when I met up with him at the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
He's an Adidas.
Took
guy.
Me around some of the Adidas Dang. Guys, and they were great guys. Great night. So hopefully Frank's listening this week. Shout out to him.
Yeah, I saw him on the Matchmaker. I saw him on Friday. So
those are the two things that jump out to me about Adidas.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Should we do the picks, CK?
Well, I wanted to just quickly we'll get to the picks. Three other games that jump out that I think at least deserve mention. You can decide which one deserves a little bit more jumping into. But close games, exciting games. Silverado edges Coronado 16-14 in kind of that first Henderson game of the year. Sierra Vista 28-26 over Kaimuki from Hawaii. And then the banner game, Bonanza takes it back from Spring Valley 20-13. Any of those results surprise you, or what's the biggest one out of those?
I kind of think we both thought that the Silverado Coronado game would be a coin flip. We were on the other side of the coin.
Oh, I forgot who I picked in that.
Yeah. And the same thing with Spring Valley Bonanza, two teams that probably mirror each other a little bit, went down to the wire. But that's real cool when you see, right? Arguably, I mean, even the coaches, I think if Coach Marcus Teal and Coach Dion Lee, two guys I love, were here, they'd say, listen, we're not going to win the state championship, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. So the banner game for them is kind of like Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it's a big game.
And the same thing this week, the cleat game, right?
Mm-hmm.
The team that wears orange and black, so pretty color, CK. Nothing better than, like, when you wear a good Shap shirt around the house. I got to get you one, bro. Get you some in some orange and black when you go to the gym.
Yeah.
Increase your street cred. But no, but this week, Shap and Eldo, right? Cleat game.
Right.
That cleat's been just over at Shap for so long, I don't even think they know where to put it at Eldo, bro.
Yeah, Eldo looks a little improved this year, so it could be interesting. I will say one of the things I really like about the banner game, you just said how much it means to both programs, of course, but compared to a lot of – and this isn't taking anything away from the cleat game or anything, but I just think compared to a lot of them, this banner game has been – way more parity stricken since I've been here. It seems like it changes. I don't think anyone's ever had it 3 years in a row since I've been around. It seems like they change just about every year, and it's always close games. So I think that's low-key one of the better rivalries in town.
Yeah, and I like how it is all – you're never going to see a blowout in that game. And even like Legacy Arbor was this week, the Battle of the Bulls, and that got away from Legacy a little bit when that game is usually closer than what the records indicate.
Yeah, it was pretty it made for a pretty special year. The 1 year Legacy did beat them, though. Yeah, no one saw it coming.
Casey Hughes's year, yeah. Yeah. So, fun times, a lot of rivalry games. I mean, Henderson Bowl for me, still kind of the creme of the creme, followed by the cleat game.
I'm always, I know this year, and it seems like one school's pulled away, but I always put on for Arborview Centennial. I love that rivalry. I feel like it means a lot to the kids, which is a great segue into the picks because that is this week. Centennial is hosting it this year. You know, we've already talked about how much we love Arborview. It's hard to see Centennial having a real chance at winning. Maybe they keep it closer. I know I've got Arborview. What do you think about that rivalry this year?
Well, I think Centennial is much improved, obviously. You know, they 35-0 against Legacy. Rallied to win that game in the opener against Sierra Vista. They've had a week off to prepare. Start of league play. Centennial's younger players, you could argue, a ton of good sophomores with Robinson and the quarterback, Tenney. You could argue that, and the Arbor people are going to kill me for this case, but you could argue the Centennial sophomores are better than the Arbor sophomores and that Centennial's on the way up. I just think this is a...
I like it. Stand, yeah. Make a stance.
I just think this week, when you talk about just the sheer physicalness of the game, Arborview's like a machine. You know, it's left guard, no matter what year it is, looks the same. And the kid that comes in on the second team looks just like the kid he replaced. And they're big and nasty and physical up front, and they're just going to slice and dice the dogs. Physically going to destroy them. Give me the Aggies, and they'll go to Canes, right? Because the winner goes to Canes.
Yeah, I will say I like buried in there early. You did say, which I didn't realize, a big factor. Centennial did have a week off. They've kind of gotten to be, you know, had a long time to prepare for Arborview, kind of gotten to lick their wounds, whereas Arborview's been through the ringer here. So if you're looking for a reason why the game could be close, I think that's another reason. We're both going to take Arborview, though. Let's be real. Hopefully Centennial brings their best effort, and this one could be close because I'd love to see a close game between these two schools. Like I said, one of my favorite rivalries, and I've been to like almost all of these games. I don't know when the last one I missed was, so I'll be there again this week.
And I tell you what, it'll be the best attended game of the year.
Yeah, it's always a great attendance, and yeah, we talked a lot about Liberty and Gorman this week, but we can Arborview people expect some Aggies breakdown next week after I get to see them. Next, we'll go to the other rivalry game, Brewers, one of Brewers' favorite, top five for sure, the cleat game, Eldorado at Chaparral.
Well, I took a ton on Twitter from my guys at Shap, right? I even got a phone call from X.
For what? What'd you do?
I picked Del Sol last
week. Oh, yeah, and at least I picked Shap.
Well, so...
Not at least.
Listen to this.
19.
Del Sol's tailback goes out. They put the tight end in, and the kid scores 3 touchdowns. I'm like, what kind of run defense do we have at Shap? And Eldo, they run the ball decently. Okay, you're not going to beat Moapa Valley, but week one you ran the ball well. They'll be up for this game. I think this is really a coin flip, but to save face and to prevent a lot of phone calls, I'm going with my Cowboys, who I love. I'm, you know, one of the most proud moments of my life is being able to say I'm a Cowboy. So hopefully they put up a good fight. As you know, over the years, I've made good friends with a few families over at Eldo, and I think the world of Cuts, and if he wins, I'd be so happy for the guy. regardless, but I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, you could have maybe convinced me this was a coin flip before last week. I was just kind of disappointed. I mean, I know Moapa's great, but El Dorado was down, I think, 41-0 at halftime. It seemed like Moapa scored every time they touched the ball.
Moapa's going to win state, bro.
I know, but
I thought El Dorado
was very much improved after they beat the team in San Diego, who must really be struggling because they beat them good, too.
Yep, well, they pulled away in the second half. They ran through them in the second half. Listen, go back about 5-10 minutes on your tape here. Somebody I really respect told me Green Valley could beat Liberty. Green Valley is Moapa Valley's only loss, and they had to run the ball. And we know Moapa doesn't usually have a lot of good athletes. They had to really turn up the screws late to run the ball to blow this one out. Moapa Valley is really good. Okay, they play Cheyenne this week, who we think is good. I think Moapa Valley is the clear-cut favorite to win state. I don't care what Lake Tahoe guy says. I don't care what Fallon is doing. I think Moapa Valley is getting really confident right now. And I don't think Eldo's as bad as that result because Moapa's good, dude. They're top eight in the state, in my humble opinion.
Okay, that was a really impassioned sales job, and I liked it, but still not changing my opinion. I'm going Chaparral here. We're not going to be different on this game.
Okay. All right, well, so we both got Chap.
Yeah, we both got Chap.
All right, we're glad
we've agreed on both the first two games.
Okay.
Gorman going to De La Salle in California, hoping to even their record 2-2 with the national slate ending.
Yeah, I don't see Gorman winning this one at all. De La Salle is obviously the benchmark for high school football programs. Granted, not as good now as they were back in the day when they didn't lose for 82 years. Tough plowing ahead. But I'll sugarcoat this with an asterisk, CK. Gorman won't lose after Friday.
Yep. For the first time, that might be somewhat bold going in to this season because Liberty and Arborview both seem to have a chance against them. I got to agree with you and go De La Salle. I will say, before we wrap up Gorman, the one kid I was really impressed with, their best receiver seemed like it was junior Donovan Smith, who had a real connection with Micah Bowens. And then when I was interviewing Kenny afterwards, he pointed out that the kid's actually a quarterback.
Yeah, he was
backup quarterback, but lost out on the job to Bowens. But, man, he had me fooled. I thought this kid was like a top-flight pass catcher.
Yeah, and the brother of Ryan Smith, one of my all-time favorite players from Gorman.
Duke,
yeah.
And
dad is a college coach, so the kid knows his way around.
Bigger than Ryan Smith.
I know, yeah.
I was very impressed by Donovan Smith, so I will say maybe a little closer than it would look on paper. I think Bowens to Smith will rack up a few yards. Next game, Foothill at Canyon Springs, maybe the game of the week.
Yeah, I think, Foothill, if you want to go back to the good point I made, I love when you compliment me. Foothill's had a week off. They've got some very elite guys in Blakely and Wilson.
They actually don't have a week. They played Durango.
Oh, my bad.
20-6 win.
Sorry. did Marty got a hold of you?
Yeah.
I accidentally sent him gosh, you know how like I text on my computer sometimes?
Yeah.
I'm texting with somebody else, and I'm actually texting with Marty, and Marty's like, hold on. Anyways, interested to see how Blakely, who's been arguably the best player in the league, right?
Very good, yeah.
Okay. How Blakely goes against the athletes at Canyon, right? Canyon, obviously, they were probably a little fortunate last week to beat Green Valley. This is a massive upgrade in competition for Foothill if you look at who they've played, right? They went up and beat some Little Sisters of the Poor in Reno, as all teams in Reno are. They beat a decent Durango squad, right? Durango gave Basic and DP a run for their money. But I think this is just a little bit of an upgrade in competition. Interested to see how Foothill plays it out. I got the Falcons. I think their defense tightens the nuts and gets it done.
Yeah, I think you hit on the key point there at the end. Offensively, Foothill's been hit and miss. They've had some really good stretches. They've had some stretches they haven't been able to do much. But defensively, they've been pretty consistent all year. I mean, no one's really been able to move the ball on them. Durango, I think, had 15 yards in the second half before a garbage time drive in the final seconds. And like I said earlier, Canyon Springs is still kind of maturing offensively. They got a lot of young guys, a lot of guys that haven't played a lot up front. I just don't see how Canyon Springs is going to score much on Foothill unless it's the defense again. And I don't think you can count on that, so I got to go with Foothill here.
I mean, granted, Foothill's been to Reno, but this is their first. Foothill's winning. Let's not get into it.
Okay.
I'm done. They're going to win.
This next one could be a little interesting, actually. Cimarron at Shadow Ridge.
Cimarron at Shadow Ridge, two teams that run the ball virtually exclusively, right? Essentially, whatever, exclusively. Shadow didn't play last week as a result of the basic forfeit. Maybe that's good for them to kind of cool the Jets down a little bit.
Not good for us because I really thought they were going to beat basic, and you'll never pick against basic. So.
Cimarron was in an absolute battle with Mojave. I think the final was like 51-48 or something.
Yeah, 41-38 in overtime.
Yeah, so, Shadow easily handled Mojave. So if you go common opponent, which I know you love, I'll take Shadow Ridge.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I think Cimarron might be like one of those teams we talk about where their top-level guys could play on any team in town, but I just don't know if they have the depth or if up and down the roster, if they're as strong as you need to be to win consistently. I think they have a chance here.
You put Ty Wally Walker back on Mojave, they probably won a few of these games.
Oh, right? Yeah, certainly. I think it could be a good game, but I think Cody Presser still plays for Shadow Ridge.
I know.
It seems like you've been there
eighth
forever.
Eighth year senior, yeah.
Presser, Wheaton. Shadow Ridge, I think, has a few more guys. Cimarron really good at the top, but this is another reason why Brewer's best man on the field theory.
You like that
another
theory.
Place where it's going to fail.
Yes, sir. Yes,
no, because I think Cimarron has the best player on the field.
Yeah?
The
tailback, right?
Yeah, he's run for, I think, something like 275 yards, three straight games. Pretty ridiculous, but I'm going to go with Shadow Ridge here as well. Palo Verde at Bonanza.
Panthers rushed for nearly 500 yards last week against my Las Vegas Wildcats. Got a dub, Thomas, the tailback, in the long line of Thomas running backs at Palo Verde. Went absolutely off. Palo get a dub to open Northwest League play. I think the Bengals, they got that banner back. They're still hungover.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals hang with them a little bit, but I think overall Palo's still a level above, so I'm going to go with the Panthers as well. I don't know if we're going to disagree on any games this week. It's kind of difficult given the schedule. Maybe this one, Green Valley at Legacy.
No, Green Valley. Legacy cannot score, bro.
They scored pretty well the first week.
Well, I don't know. Listen, they ain't scored since, so.
Yeah, Burroughs from California, 31-0, and you're right, since then only 13 points. Man, I was trying to talk myself into Legacy. You did a bad sales job there. Now looking at it, they still have some running backs. Jerry Martin, Amori Foster have pretty good numbers.
Really good. I mean, here's the deal. Is Green Valley's bus going to find Legacy? If they get there all at the same time before 7 o'clock, they're winning the game.
Shouldn't you be trying to get me to pick against you? I can't now at that sale. I'm going to go Green Valley in a close game. I think Legacy's due to break out one of these times. But I really do expect Green Valley to bounce back. I think maybe they're in a little bit more precarious position if they would have pulled out a close win against Canyon Springs. Now you got to feel like they're going to be focused. They're going to be hungry. I'm going to say Legacy doesn't have as much trouble scoring, but Green Valley wins this one. Western going to Boulder City. Boulder City is staring at 3-1 all of a sudden after last year not even being in a classification.
Yeah, and I think Boulder City gets another dub. Talked to Morelli Friday night. He raved about their younger players. The Balmer kid, who's not a younger player, seems to be going out every week and having 100-plus yardage of offense. Give me the Eagles.
I've got the Eagles as well. Great game in the 3A. Next, Cheyenne and Moapa Valley, two undefeated teams. Early season showdown. I know it's going to be rocking in Overton for this one.
Probably the game of the week. Could be a state championship game preview. Very interested to see how this one plays out. If it wasn't in Overton, I'd be there. And I just got to go back to my theory. If I think Moapa Valley's the best team in state, I think they got to get this done. And this is the only game where if Cheyenne pulled this out, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I see it. I mean, Cheyenne's gone through everybody like water, right?
Yeah, and they got a week off last week, stemming from the suspensions again. Clark forfeited, so they've had some time to prepare. They're going to be hungry to get out there. When you talk about playmakers, I mean, they got them all over the field. And Josh Rose, Majay Madison making noise this year. I'm really, really tempted on Cheyenne, but I feel like I think we need to see just a little bit more from the Desert Shields. There's just comfort, I guess, in Moapa Valley. We've seen that consistency is there, and it's hard to pick against them when you pretty much know what you're going to get out of Moapa Valley, and I feel like it's still a wild card. I would not be stunned if Cheyenne goes down there and just scores a ton of points and not blows them out, but wins easily, I guess. I wouldn't be shocked by that, but I kind of need to see it first before I go with that side.
Yeah, and see, there's a thing. I think if this game was at Cheyenne, I'd still pick Moapa, but I'd say anyone have a coin.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm in agreement. Way too much harmony on this podcast, but I'm with you. Moapa for both of us. Democracy Prep goes to Virgin Valley. Like every Virgin Valley game, or at least most of them this season, have been extremely close. I think the trend breaks this week. I've got Virgin Valley pretty big.
I totally agree with you. I think Virgin Valley, Moapa Valley this year will be fun.
I know we made a big deal of it at the time, but I think that looking back, that Democracy Prep win over Coronado is going to just be one of the. Is that like the shocking moment of the season?
Yeah.
Unless Corman loses?
I was thinking, because we've got our Sun Standout Awards every year, and we've got the room booked already at South Point. I think it's like May 21st. I'm thinking that's got to be game of the year or moment of the year, right?
Should be a candidate for something, yeah. Certainly.
Have to bring it up to the committee, obviously. But yeah,
yeah. Definitely. Including our guy, football coach Dion Lee.
Yeah.
Owner of the banner.
Shout out to the banner.
All right.
He might say the banner game
yeah,
of the year.
That's true. Might have to ask him to leave the room while we're discussing that category. Here's another good one. Desert Pines at Sierra Vista.
Yeah. This is where we'll probably be different, right?
My first reaction was that you were going to be on the other side and I would be on your side. So now do I pick something to be different just to be different? Or I don't know. Talk me through it. I really haven't made up my mind yet.
I was high on Sierra Vista to start the year. Big up front. And then they've just had three touchdown leads, blew the game against Centennial. Three touchdown lead, blew it against Green Valley, who, if you trust the guy I talked to, could beat Liberty, which, whatever, right?
The guy I talked to is leading the league in mentions.
Yeah. Now, then they get a dub in a close game finally last week. I just think they're good and they're physical up front. And Desert Pines, while they've got the Jimmies and the Joes on the outside, and there's absolutely no debating that. If Sierra Vista is smart, and I think Foss is, I think they might just be able to get and run and push DP around up front. This game's going to be close, and I don't know why I would pick Sierra Vista because they can't win a close game, but I think they're going to wear Desert Pines out.
They won a close game last Friday, 28-26 over Kaimuki, who might be the best team they've played so far, arguably, right?
Arguably. I mean, I wasn't at the game.
But a guy you talk to says Green Valley's really good. So.
Yeah.
So Green Valley might be better than
Kaimuki. I'm going with this guy I talked to's theories.
Yeah, I think you looks like 11 points, or maybe even less than that. Sorry, math not the not my strong suit. Maybe 12 points, actually, in three games. That's how much has decided Sierra Vista's three games this year. Everyone close. I think that experience in close games means something, too. It's tough for me. I want to pick Desert Pines really badly, but when I saw Desert Pines, it was when they beat Durango 12-6, and it just wasn't all that impressive. Now, again, though, that's not fair because they had a lot of kids that weren't playing that I assume played against Minogue. They had a couple kids on the offensive line that had never played offensive line. They threw them in right before the game. They're not going to have that against Sierra Vista. I'm just totally... I would never use this phrase because it's your phrase and it gets on my nerves. But if there's ever an anyone have a coin game, For me, it's this game. Do you have a coin? I would just flip it right now and tell you who I'm going to pick.
I mean, I don't have a coin. I just, listen, DP just went up and beat a very well-coached team on the road. More credit to them. Maybe their planning got a little backwards because of the travel.
All right, well, I've just confirmed Google has a coin flip function. So you tell me. I want you to call it who's heads and who's tails for my pick this week.
Heads is Desert Pines. Tails is Sierra.
All right, here we go. It says flipping. Tails.
You got
Sierra Vista.
Vista.
All right, we're together. I'm really 50-50 on this game.
Does it really have a coin flip function?
Yeah, it really does. You just type in coin flip, and it says flipping. It shows you. All right, so we're both on Sierra Vista. Del Sol at Rancho.
I just did it, and it said tails as well.
That was meant to be. We're agreeing.
Del Sol at Rancho. Let me. You know, Case, you've heard me talk before. I'm lukewarm on the Thursday night game. Really appreciate Kenny. Gives us shouts out all the time. Those guys are great. But why would they pick this matchup for television? I get it's letting everybody have a chance to be on TV, but this one could be over quick, bro. Del Sol.
Yeah, you got to think so. Del Sol, this got to be one. This is one of their better teams of the last decade,
half
decade.
Yeah.
So I think they continue rolling here. I'm going to go Del Sol. Short slate this week. That's it. Only 13 games.
Thank God.
I probably should have mentioned this sooner, but programming note: we won't be back till Wednesday next week. We'll talk about those Arborview Aggies. We'll talk about some of these close games. Really excited to see what happens in Desert Pine Sierra Vista. Any parting thoughts?
No, I got nothing, bro.
All right, well, that was Prep Sports Now for Ray. I'm Case. Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us again next Wednesday, where we'll break down Week 5.